Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life, your fellow redeemed. Have you ever thrown something away, thinking you won't need it, and then suddenly you remember or think, oh man, that's pretty important, or maybe even essential. Perhaps you come across something you haven't used for a couple years, and you think, I can toss this. And then if you've tossed it, you realize you should have kept it. I'm sure this happened to all of us. Mail gets thrown away, and you realize, oops, I should have kept that. When that happens, you get a little frustrated, maybe upset, but it also may affect your future. Maybe a lost letter or a thrown-out message can affect friendship. Maybe you miss an important meeting you should get to. But nothing compares to the eternal consequence of throwing away the Bible. I don't mean taking your Bible and then tossing it in the trash. What I mean is what Paul is talking about in the first verses of our text this morning, in the letter to the Galatians. The Galatian Christians have been brought to faith in Christ. They've been taken away from their life of unbelief and spiritual deadness and sin and told that Jesus alone is the only way to salvation. Christ alone. And now they were in the process of doing what with the gospel? Throwing it away. Our theme this morning from our sermon text is this: don't throw away your good news. First, by rejecting the one who calls you by his grace. And secondly, by accepting man-made teachings as gospel. The Galatians were people who lived in the area of Galatia, which is Asia Minor. Today it would be modern-day Turkey. They were mainly Gentiles, but there were some Jews that also lived in that area. If you remember, Paul, in his second missionary journey, went throughout this area, and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, used Paul's message to found some Christian congregations in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. And on his third missionary journey, Paul went through those same cities to strengthen them and encourage them with the word. But shortly thereafter, we're told some false teachers, Jewish Christians, from Jerusalem, came into the area and threw them into confusion. First, they said, you can't trust Paul because he's really not an apostle. He didn't walk and talk with Jesus. He wasn't one of the 12. And you can't trust his gospel because his gospel isn't complete. The only way to really be assured of your salvation is by believing in Jesus, but then also doing the ceremonial customs and regulations of the law that Moses gave to the Old Testament children of Israel. In other words, we're mixing that beautiful gospel message of salvation alone through faith in Christ with legalistic commands and regulations and customs of the Old Testament. They were throwing away the good news of Jesus for man-made teachings, man-made customs. When Paul heard about this, he sat down to write this letter to the Galatians. Paul was deeply concerned that these believers were being led astray and that they'd lose their faith completely in Christ and go to hell. And as you read this epistle of Paul to the Galatians, you find that Paul speaks in some very harsh words at times. He's very direct, very stern, very firm, doesn't mince words. He doesn't beat around the bush. He says that this is really serious. You're losing, you're throwing away the good news of salvation. And throwing this letter, in this letter, he's calling them to recognize the eternal danger of mixing faith in Christ with human opinions, human teachings, and human customs. Unless we think that, oh, this is a nice history lesson here from 2,000 years ago, it doesn't apply to us today, I'll again say the theme, do not throw away your good news. The same danger is just as important today as it was in Paul's day. Paul began his letters, he normally began his letters. He has grace and peace to the people. And then he calls himself an apostle. He jumps in the foray right away and he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. The word apostle means to be sent out. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. He said, we're going to all the world and preach the gospel. And that applies to all of us as well, too. But Paul wasn't there. He wasn't one of those 12. But Paul reminds him that he saw Jesus when he was converted on the way to Damascus. And this is what the Lord Jesus said about Paul. He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Paul was, in a full sense of the word, an apostle, just like Matthew, just like John, just like Peter, just like James. This calling of his was not from man, from a human being. He was called directly by Jesus, just like the other apostles, and by God the Father who raised him from the dead. Therefore, when Paul proclaimed and wrote the word of God, it was by divine authority. He spoke and wrote by inspiration. These opening words, Paul so beautifully sets forth what these Galatians have received from Christ. They received grace, the undeserved love of Jesus. And that love of Jesus, which is given them through his suffering, death, and resurrection, led to them, gave them peace. They were no longer at odds with the holy, righteous God because of their sins. That barrier, that wall of separation, their sins have been removed by Christ. There was a oneness now between them and the Heavenly Father. Peter clearly states that, or Paul clearly states that in his words, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Our world hasn't changed one iota from Paul's day. In Paul's day, people lay in wickedness, sin, and spiritual death. In our day, people lay in wickedness, sin, and spiritual death. By nature, all people are born spiritually dead, enemies of God, under Satan's control, blind to God. You and I were conceived and born dead in sins, enemies of God, blind to God, Satan's children in this corrupt generation. But Jesus was sent into this world to take our place, to pay for our sins, to wash away our sins, to give us his righteousness, and to make us children of the Heavenly Father. To God be all glory forever and ever. Notice how Paul, in these words, so clearly directs all thoughts away from self, away from what I can do or what the Galatians did, and towards Christ, to his righteousness. How powerful was the death of Jesus on Calvary? Paul says it paid for their sins and set them free from sin, death, the power of the devil, and hell itself. So do you see what Paul is doing here? What he's getting at? He's telling them, if Jesus Christ did all this for us, lived a perfect, obedient life, died upon the cross and was damned for you and me, and all of this according to the will of the Heavenly Father, then when you add what you can do to that, you're disgracing Christ. You're defacing everything he's done and shaming the Father's will. Paul, in great agitation of soul and heart, then continues, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. The Galatians were in the process of turning away, falling away, throwing away the good news of Jesus for a different gospel, which Paul says is not really another gospel. It's no gospel at all. It's no good news. Anytime you talk about what we do for salvation, that's law. So, what was this different gospel? It was the age-old error of mixing the gospel of what Christ did for us with what we can do for Jesus. These false teachers didn't come in and say, hey, give up believing in Jesus. Now they said, believing in Jesus is good, but to make your salvation assured, to make it perfected, you need to keep those Old Testament ceremonial laws, those regulations, those customs. They wanted to hold fast to Christ, and they wanted to hold fast to their works. They believed that the doing of the law was necessary for salvation. In other words, you're justified not just by believing in Jesus alone, you're justified by believing in Jesus and keeping the law. This type of teaching is readily acceptable to every human being. Because inside of us, we have a sinful nature that feels that we can, must, will, and are able to do things for God, to be able to merit God's grace. This mixing of the good news of what Christ has done for us and what we can do for Christ for salvation is stealing the hearts of these Galatians away from Christ. And Paul was sickened. His heart was aching. To many people, there's no difference. It's not very serious, the two different teachings. They're eternally serious. So let's summarize again. What did Paul teach? One, Jesus Christ lived and died for you. Two, believe in the Lord Jesus and you are saved. Three, once you've been brought to saving faith, you will, out of love and thanksgiving, want to keep his laws and live for your Savior. What did the false teachers teach? One, Jesus Christ lived and died for you. Two, believe on the Lord Jesus. Three, keep the law as best as you can, and then your salvation will be secure. Is that hair splitting? Is that nitpicking? Paul says, those who teach that, let them be accursed, judged, damned by God. It is no little thing that we take away from Christ's work. Our salvation is entirely, completely dependent upon what Jesus Christ did for us. He took our place. He was laid under the law of God, of his Father. He kept it perfectly in every thought, word, and deed through his entire life. He went to the cross with all of our sins upon his soul, and God condemned and damned his Son rather than us. And then Jesus rose from the dead to assure us of a resurrection to everlasting life. That's the gospel. And Jesus assured that when he said on the cross, "It is finished. It's done. It's completed. There's nothing you can add to it." And 750 years before that, Isaiah said the same thing. He said, "It is he for us, not everyone for himself." Any amount of trust, any amount of confidence in what we can do, be it big or little, church attendance, prayers, offerings, being kind and nice to others, as if in some way we could get brownie points before God, merit his love, somehow make us better than others. Thinking that destroys Christ's work. The three Reformation principles that the Lutheran Church is based upon is grace alone, through faith alone, found in Scripture alone. These false teachers taught faith, but not alone, mixed with good works. Grace, but not alone, mixed with our love for God. And Scripture, but not alone, mixed with man's enlightened knowledge, man's opinions, and man's teachings. So Paul says that even if he, or one of his colleagues, or an angel from heaven, preached a different gospel than Christ crucified and risen again, then let them be accursed. In fact, he felt so strongly about this that he even repeated the words in these first 10 verses, and he says, "As we have said before, so now I say it again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." The good news of Jesus is so simple, and it is so clear. But that may be one reason why so many people reject it. It's too good to be true. And how often haven't you heard that? If it's too good to be true, then it's what? Not true. In the gospel case, it's too good to be true, but it is true. But only through faith do we believe it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No mention of works at all. And even the believing in him is impossible for us to do. The Bible says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes that message of Christ crucified and risen again, and he creates faith in the hearts of individuals. What a Savior. What a gospel. But these false teachers were accusing Paul of denouncing these Old Testament regulations and customs in order to win the Gentile converts. In other words, they accused him of being men pleasers, changing it so that Gentiles don't have to worry about that law stuff and those Old Testament regulations. But Paul writes that he wouldn't be using this language that he uses if he was trying to be men pleasers. He writes in verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul says, "I'm a slave to Jesus and to his word." And so should every Christian pastor, every Christian teacher of God's word. We should not be men pleasers, but we should be law and gospel teachers. We should not scratch the itching ears of members who want to hear what they want to hear, but instead teach what our sin-sick souls need to hear. There was a Missouri Synod pastor who lived in the late 1800s and early 1900s that wrote a beautiful commentary on the book of Galatians that I've used many times. His name is Carl Monte Zorn. And in these 10 verses, he has a closing paragraph of these 10 verses in his commentary that could have been written yesterday. Listen carefully, and we'll use this as a closing of our sermon this morning. Pastor Zorn writes, "The time for being pleasing to men is a thing of the past for this faithful apostle that every servant of the word should keep in mind and steadfastly and unswervingly preach the gospel and testify against the false prophets who confuse the Christians and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And you Christians, do not grumble if your pastor does the same, but demand of him that he do so for your salvation's sake. Thank God if he gives you a shepherd who does this. For the Church of Christ now is in a pitiful condition, and all kinds of storms of false teaching are passing over it. The Church of Christ now is only too full of and oppressed by false teachers who want to confuse the Christians and to pervert the gospel of Christ. Only too full under all sorts of names, including even the name Evangelical Lutheran. Pay no attention to such. Avoid them. Far, far removed from you be the talk so often heard from those who have already been misled or those who are indifferent. Oh, of what good is all this? One certainly hears something good in every church. Rather say to the Lord, I hate vain thoughts. Uphold me, Lord, according to your word, so that I may live." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.